We hear again a few of the verses from 1 Kings 3. Solomon said, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you." In the name of Jesus. What more noble pursuit, as we begin the new year, than the pursuit for wisdom? And when we think of wisdom, what name might we think of? Probably the first would be Plato. He taught wisdom to Athens. Plato taught wisdom as the state of the soul, he said, when it passes into the region of purity and eternity and immortality and unchangeableness. The soul, said Plato, is the very likeness of the divine and uniform and unchangeable. Plato calls this state of the soul wisdom. But what did Plato actually mean when we think of our real flesh and blood lives, of grinding out a living, the tensions we have at home, the problems at work each day? What does Plato's teaching of the soul turning in on itself to the region of purity and eternity and all that other nonsense actually mean when we're mad at our neighbor? By Plato's wisdom, we're led to largely discount or deny the grit and grime and flesh and blood of this actual world that we live in, and we are given to try to reach some abstract, uniform purity, says Plato, and become more spiritual. That's a beautiful way to live, if you can pull it off. But it's not real world, and no one can pull it off in real flesh and blood lives, and we are flesh and blood. That's the way we were created. Some 350 years after Plato was teaching this wisdom to Athens, some 3,000 miles away, down in Jerusalem, a 12-year-old boy was sitting at the temple. And after his family had gone through all that travail in looking for him, they finally located him sitting among the teachers. They gathered him up, took him back home to Nazareth, Luke 2:51. And Jesus went down with his parents and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So now, what does it mean that Jesus increased in wisdom? It does not mean that he was doing the Plato job. First, it means that he's kind of the opposite of that. He's a true flesh and blood human. It means he is like us. He grows, he matures. As Luke says, he increases. He is at one point an infant, unable to walk, at another a teenager, at another point a full-grown man. He is at one point then, we might suppose, a 2-year-old child spilling half his vegetables on the floor, at another point a full-grown man, able to taste which wine is most suitable for the wedding feast. He is like us. He increases in wisdom and matures. But second, it means that Jesus, increasing in wisdom, is receiving gifts from his Father. Because if we want to know what wisdom is, we don't turn to Plato. He teaches that wisdom is to be turning into yourself and to be more spiritual. He teaches you how to make everything uniform and pure and judge everyone around you. But he does not teach how to live as a true man in this flesh and blood world. The teacher of wisdom is Solomon. Solomon, seeking wisdom, gave that prayer to the Lord. "Lord, give your servant an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil." 1 Kings 3:9. But that is the translation that we have in front of us. In the Hebrew, it's much more plain, more simple. Solomon said, not give your servant an understanding mind, but he said very simply, Lord, give your servant a hearing heart that I may discern between good and evil. From Solomon, we are given to learn wisdom. It is not the conquering of a field of study. It is not a mind trained in mechanisms of how to make good decisions. It's not a mind looking for uniformity in everything. Wisdom is, says Solomon, a hearing heart. So what is this hearing heart? Jesus, Luke tells us, increased in wisdom. That is, Jesus increased in a hearing heart. To Jesus, wisdom is nothing other than the receiving of words as a gift. By words, the Father gives gifts. John 14:24, Jesus said, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear from me is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Jesus hears words from his Father and receives them as gift. Then Jesus speaks those words to us, giving us gifts from his Father in those words, so that Peter is able to say to Jesus, in those words we sang this morning in the liturgy, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, John 6:68. The Father gives gifts by speaking words. These words give a hearing heart. The hearing heart, that is the heart of faith, receives the words spoken from the Father to the Son, and spoken then by the Son to the sinner, and by those words the sinner's heart is cleansed and given life. So Jesus, living in this flesh and blood world with us, did not increase in wisdom in any way that Plato would have wanted to teach him, but by a heart of faith, hearing and receiving words. Jesus receives gifts as words. And Jesus then receives words as nothing but gift. Luke 2:46. After 3 days, his parents found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. Listening and asking questions, that's receiving words. By asking questions, by this listening, Jesus is hearing words from the teachers in the temple. Later, Jesus would be asking questions of other people. We can remember different accounts. How about when he asked questions of the woman at the well? By those questions, Jesus was able to hear her doubts, her sin, her troubles. From her words, he knew what she was empty of, and he knew what words he would give to her to cleanse her and bestow salvation. Jesus wants to hear our words. In hearing our words, our prayer, he discerns between evil and good. That is, he makes the distinction between what is our sin, what is troubling us, what is dragging us into despair. And this is the discerning of evil. And then he lets us discern life by giving to us the words by which we are cleansed of sin, are rescued from our despair, and are brought into the full hope and faith of life. So Solomon prayed for a hearing heart. He was the great teacher of wisdom. Jesus, the one whom Solomon was proclaiming, the one who was to come after Solomon and was to be the greater Solomon, Jesus shows us the hearing heart. It may be translated in our modern Bibles with the English word understanding, but in the Hebrew, it is much more simple and clear. A hearing heart. Jesus heard words from his Father and received them as gifts. Jesus speaks words to us. He is giving to us the gifts his Father gave to him. When we pray for wisdom, we are praying for a heart to hear the gospel. We are praying that we may not turn into ourselves for deliverance from sin, but that we hear the words spoken to us as gift from the Son, who himself receives gifts from the Father. We hear those words That's what it means to be given a hearing heart. We hear them and receive these words from the Father as nothing but gift. Hearing the words spoken to us by the Son, we discern between evil and good. The evil we discern, that is our sin that we know by the law that we hear in the Word. It's our attempt to be more spiritual, our effort to justify ourselves. Then we discern the good. The good is the word of life spoken by the Father through the Son. The good is the word of forgiveness, the decree that you are justified by the blood, the pronouncement from the mouth of Jesus that you are clean. This is the gospel. It is good to receive the gospel with a hearing heart. This is wisdom. In the name of Jesus, amen.